Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Happy Tuesday, June 4th to you. We are a couple days out from game one of the NBA Finals. Kyrie Irving doing some reflecting this week on that on his short time in Boston. Got the news this morning from Shams. It's like somebody's going to be ready for that series that wasn't playing previously. Not a secret, Kristaps Porzingis. That all seems official, all but official, that he'll be ready for game one on Thursdays. Grizzlies reportedly involved in trade talks with a team in the top three of the draft. We'll discuss that. We are officially on Arthur Kaluma watch as Penny attempts to replace David Jones, who kept his name in the NBA draft. This is cool. ESPN has ranked all 134 FBS quarterback situations into tiers. Where do Seth Hennigan and the Tigers fall? We will discuss that also. Their college football power index is out. I don't like where they've got Memphis, John. And a story that we discussed last week went viral before we discussed it. There's been a twist. Brad will know what I'm talking about. The Michigan man that went viral last week for the way he was jailed, sent to jail, what he had done to go viral and to get sent to jail, that is now in question. There's been a twist. Now, for that Michigan man who, again, John, he was on the phone in a car that was moving reportedly on a suspended license. Judge said, what the heck you doing? Come on down here. You're going to jail 6 o'clock. Mm. That was the end of the story. We've had an update, a big one,
okay.
A twist.
All right.
How are you, Field of 68 Media Network?
I'm doing good. I might have I would call it an update or not. It just maybe an interesting update, perhaps, on Kaluma Watch.
Oh.
I don't know.
Your teases are so much better than mine.
I don't know. I don't really know how to characterize it, honestly, because it's not much.
So you're saying you don't have anything, really, and yet you tease it and you intrigue us.
I have something.
Well, that means we should listen.
It's not a segment, though.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. Makes all the sense in the world. Sometimes we have little tidbits.
Yeah, it's not like, visits are scheduled, and I know exactly where, you know what I'm saying?
Arthur Kaluma.
It's not like that. But I do have maybe just an interesting tidbit to pass along. On the Arthur Kaluma front. So we'll do that in just a little bit here on the show. It's Tuesday, it is the summer of the dub of the WNBA. Every single day we have a different player coming out in some way, shape, or form, seemingly upset about something. And in yesterday's case, it was Angel Reese. Mm.
You were upset as well yesterday.
I was not upset. I was upset, though.
You were upset.
I was upset that, yes, about the media coverage.
Yeah, the cloud around. I don't even know if we got to the actual cheap shot.
Correct. Yes, by that point,
because we were so disgusted by McAfee.
And he apologized, by the way.
Oh, well, we knew that was coming.
It was
foolishness.
It was a great apology. But then there was a press conference that Angel Reese and Kennedy Carter shared. By the way, like, why can't we just have formal press conferences in the WNBA? Like, everything kind of feels so mismatched. It's like they just kind of put something up and everybody's standing around, like, you know.
We do have formal press conferences.
I know, but in the NBA, everything is like, it feels like it's all, you know, at the podium. It's all, I guess we do have shoot-around stuff.
Well, she had her chance to respond right after. She didn't.
That's right.
And they, all the backlash.
Yeah.
Yeah, they needed to do a little impromptu, I suppose.
Yeah, Kennedy Carter said after the game, it's all love. Even though she went on Threads and said Caitlin doesn't bring anything to the game except 3-point shooting. So I don't know if I believe her in that sense.
And she's come back and since talked more.
About how
she feels about Caitlin.
Yes, that was what she said. She said after the game, it's all love.
She wasn't going to answer questions.
She had the day off, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then she came back and reflected on that and said it's all love. So I don't really know how to square that.
And then Angel Reese's comments.
Yes.
I sense they have bothered you.
Well, not really. I think they're interesting. I think I think they're just kind of illuminating, right?
Who's this about? Is it about the class? Is it about Angel Reese? Is it about Clayton?
I think it's about all of it. About all of it.
Okay.
It's Stephen A. Smith and Monica McNutt. Did you see that? Monica McNutt?
They went crazy yesterday, and then they revisited it today for about an hour. We're not going to do that.
Bro,
we're not going to spend that much time on
Stephen A. Smith did a 34-minute diatribe where he said he made Monica McNutt, where he said Monica McNutt was nothing until I put you on First Take.
Damn. And she still went back on the show today?
Well, yeah. I'm sure you get paid by the appearance on there, bro. That would be my guess.
So that was his response and the way he got checked yesterday by her?
Yes. He said that I was given full control of First Take and all the contributors, and I put you on.
That's like when Jeff told me when I sent him you and me.
Facts.
And he said, I'm the boss.
Everybody's dunking on Stephen A. Smith. I honestly, like, I get where he's coming from. I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. I get where he's coming from, though. I mean,
his ego's involved now because he got put in his place.
Yeah,
he's trying to put Monica back in her place.
Exactly.
I don't think that's necessarily right.
No doubt. Listen, I think that Stephen A. took it personally the way that Monica went at him.
Did you see his face?
Yes, he took it personally. Like, wow. How could you do this to me when I'm the reason you're here? That's clearly that's what he vocalized later. And then off we go. So. Look, folks, it's a perfect storm.
You're right, though. It's the summer of the dub.
Because there's nothing else happening.
Because the finals took such a long break.
And there's 2 weeks in between games then. So this is all we have.
Okay.
And so that's why, if this was all happening in December, respectfully, we would not be having this extent of discussions. Like, not at all. Not even close, right?
Or if the Showboats were in the playoffs.
Maybe.
That's a joke.
Maybe. Maybe we'd be breaking down the two deep there. I don't know. It'd be something else at least.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. Right. We'll talk to her. You know, listen, I think the challenge for us here is to try to talk about this in a fresh way because all of the points and the questions have already been asked. So in about 15 minutes, that is going to be the challenge for us. You know, let's try to spin this with Jessica in a new, fresh, intriguing way that has not been previously done. Do you think we're up for the task?
Yeah, always.
So we'll do that with her.
Won't be a problem.
At 11:25. Got some potential Grizz news that we'll touch on here in just a minute. And then at 1:25, Nick Friedell from Odyssey Sports is going to join us. Like we said, yesterday we broke down the Boston big men, and today we're going to focus on the guards. And then tomorrow we'll be ready sort of for the rotation pieces, maybe a little coaching breakdown. And then on Thursday, we'll have the game and we'll do Faye Brad. And it's a build up, right? Everything good is certainly worth waiting for. And I know you've been waiting for it. We all have been waiting for it. And we'll get into all of that with Nick Friedell at 1:25. So that is the show today, but we're back. It's Tuesday. Had a great Monday. Now it's time to do a little thing we call cap or no cap.
Cap It means lion, but built different. Now it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
All right, Jason, with, I don't know, if, how many days until the draft?
What is it, 26?
Oh, it's June 30th?
No, 26th.
Oh, it's the 26th. Yeah, got it. Okay, so
it's,
22.
And it's two dates now, right?
Oh, that's right. But we only care about the first one.
Honestly. Correct.
Yeah. So 22 days until the NBA first round of the NBA draft. And there is a report out there from Kevin O'Connor that the Grizzlies are potentially angling to trade all the way up to number 3.
Number 3.
Where they would draft Dalton Knecht. No, I'm kidding. Donovan Clingan would be the...
give that a round of applause.
Would be the target there, the center there from UConn. You could probably get Knecht at 9. You know, I mean, that would be my guess.
Many have Knecht going to Memphis at 9.
Yeah, so they're going to try to get up to 3. So the statement here is the Grizzlies will trade and get to number 3.
Well, hard to say what Houston's going to require, to allow you to come up and do that, especially if Kevin O'Connor's info is correct that Houston's not just talking to you, they're talking to the Nets, and with the Nets, they're interested in Mikal Bridges. What you can offer, apparently, is the 9, obviously, and there would have to be something else that goes with that. There was no speculation from O'Connor that it would include a player necessarily. Are we talking about a future pick? You know, a future first rounder to go with the 9. Are you throwing in a player or not? We don't know. We don't know what Houston's going to want. So it's hard to say here. But what we know is that it won't just be you that's bidding.
Right. They want Mikal Bridges.
They want Mikal Bridges.
And if that's where they're at, you ain't getting to 3.
That's to me, Mikal Bridges again is a guy that many have coveted, including the Grizzlies, for a very long time now.
Exactly.
And the Nets, as was discussed by Drew Hill and Jeffrey Wright this morning on Jeff's show, the Nets should be in a position now. You didn't make the playoffs with him last year. And so you should be in a position where now you got to see. I mean, it's time to blow it up. It's time to acquire assets if you're the Nets. And so why wouldn't they have, my point, Mikal Bridges on the trading block? That's the point there. And, again, moving up to the 3 spot for Brooklyn, very, you know, in a year where I believe they don't have a pick, very important. And so that offer, if they're indeed willing to move Mikal Bridges, seems to me more attractive than what the Grizzlies could put together in terms of picks, and maybe you're throwing in a player. So I'm going to say no. I like it. Zach Kleiman has a history of moving up in the draft. He does not move back. He moves up.
Right.
We know what a great fit Donovan Clingan would be with the Grizzlies. I mean, there's no question about that in terms of the screen setter that he is. The doesn't need the ball offensively to be effective. Defensively, rim protector, fits in so many ways.
Yep.
I think if you've got Brooklyn in the bidding as well, they're going to be able to put together a better package that's got Mikal Bridges right at the front of it. So I'm going to go with cap that they'll be able to do this. I would love it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they have the pieces. I mean, if we're talking about players, they don't have the pieces. Not guys they would be willing to move that Houston would want. So it's a non-starter. Now, let's say they can't, and let's say they stay at 9. What's interesting is Kevin O'Connor has them taking Khalil Ware. I've seen a lot of buzz about Khalil Ware from like the Grizz sort of, you know, Twitterati or whatever you want to say. And I understand it, but I'm not a fan of it. He's too light. He's 230 pounds, you know. I'd rather have Edie at that point, if that's where you're going to go, you know? Yeah, he shot the ball well as a sophomore at Indiana, but I just don't really feel like 5 out is the way that the Grizzlies need to go here. I think they need somebody that's, you know, that's thick, that has some mass. That's the way it's always.
And help Jaren.
Yeah, exactly right.
Get up off of 25th in the league and rebounding this year.
I feel like if you draft Khalil Ware, you just have 2 Jarens. In that way, you know, which, I mean, and he probably will not be anywhere close to as good as Jaren, would be my guess defensively. So I would rather just go Edie because I know he brings an element that is absolutely missing, you know, from the Grizzlies, which is the ability to play the 5.
There's a chance. I think it's CBS Sports that I saw recently does have, it's them, I think, that's got the Grizzlies taking Edie at 9. I still think that's too high. My point would be you might have an opportunity to trade back.
You could.
And still get Edie. And so I would want to do those things before I'm taking, yeah.
But I'll be honest, I think if you're going to stay at 9, I would draft Dalton Knecht. If he's available, I would draft him. Because he at least represents some potential on the wing, which you don't have a lot of.
What do you mean?
I mean, you have some...
You got all kinds of potential with Vince and Gigi.
You have Vince, who I think is probably a rotation guy, right?
Like, now, if you're telling me this includes moving off of Kennard and getting that contract off, and hopefully it's including that in a package to go get the center that you need, I'm all for your plan of taking Connect.
No, that
would line up.
I think you definitely would have to do that. I think you would definitely be looking to move off of
Kennard. But you have some wings that you actually...
I feel Gigi's ceiling is, I would say, higher than Vince's, you know, but you're right. I mean, those two are certainly, you feel good about them.
Definitely coming out last year. That was the one good thing about last season.
But I do think from just watching Dalton, like, he has a high-point jumper. Dude was an absolute bucket regardless of where he played.
Oh, I like a lot of...
And so I feel like you probably just cannot have enough of that in today's NBA. And I'm more convinced about him than if you're not going to go center, I'm more convinced about him than I would say, Rod Holland.
Well, and to your point, I feel better about his shooting than what I've seen short sample size from Vince and from Gigi too. Like that's an NBA shot to your point on Connect.
Yeah, no question.
Like, I know what I'm getting.
He did it against, he had 30 something against Purdue. I mean, he couldn't miss. I would rather go connect than a guy like Cody Williams from Colorado.
Rather go connect if you had the chance than trading back and getting Edie.
Well,
you'd rather have connect on this team than Edie.
I that's a gamble, though, right? Like, what if, how far back am I going?
Yeah, I know. I'd want to know that I'm not going too far back, that I'm going to have this guy fall. I mean, it is a risk when you do that. Either way, even taking Edie at 9. Yeah, as CBS Sports. Some have said that's crazy, but there are mocks out there that now have him go because of what he did in the combine.
Yeah.
Him going at 9. If you had your choice of Edie Connect at 9, what are you doing? You're still taking Connect?
Yes. I'm taking Connect. Wing scoring. You cannot have enough. Marcus Smart's not in the long term plans, right? We know that.
I don't think so. It could work out. It could.
But there's so much mileage on him, and he's already had, it's another season.
But
he
kind of saved a year, though. You could argue that. Him this year.
You could argue that. I mean, is he going to be here in 3 years at a high level? I mean, almost certainly not. So I'm looking sort of towards, a wing rotation of Vince, Dalton Knecht, Gigi Jackson. That has the potential to be elite. I mean, it really does.
No, I'm not mad at that.
Dalton Knecht's a minus defender. He's a team defender, though. He can be a team defender who you hide, just like you hide Ja, right, with Jaren Jackson Jr., if you're doing your job. And you go out here and you get a good center in free agency. Again, there's a lot of dominoes, it feels like,
I got to know I'm getting that center, though, if I'm going Connect. That's the one thing that Edie, I got a plan.
Right.
But again, Kleiman has talked about the importance of getting that guy. So if I'm getting connected 9, I still believe I'm going and getting that veteran center.
Yeah, like
some way.
Yeah, I guess I'm maybe a tad higher on Connect maybe than you. Although I do think you like him.
No, I'm not. I don't think we're far apart here at all. I would not be mad if the Grizzlies take connected 9. In fact, it may be a reality.
Right. I would be.
I'd like to see the rest of the plan.
Okay, here's where it gets interesting. Like, what if a guy like Rob Dillingham is there?
You're not
a Dilly guy.
No, okay. I'm not. I'm just not a Dilly guy.
Okay.
And again, I could be wrong for that. I'm just not there. It's too small. We got enough small guards.
What about Jacoby Walter, the shooter from Baylor? That too high?
Yes.
It only matters if they suck, right? If they're great, it doesn't matter where you pick them. But you don't think his ceiling is that high?
Ceiling is probably plenty high, but I feel good. Again, there's a select few I'd take in that spot. I'd seriously consider trading back to get Edie, and I'd seriously consider getting off the pick, period, to go get the big or move up to 3.
So one guy that I would, if you're going to do the trade back.
I'm not stuck on anybody. But
one guy that I would like a lot, actually, if you trade back, would be Tristan Da Silva from Colorado. I don't know how much of him you have seen.
Not a lot.
But he is a super, he feels like the kind of prospect the Grizzlies try to draft, high IQ, two-way ability, 6'8", can shoot it. I mean, that Colorado team, you'll hear about Cody Williams as an NBA prospect, but Tristan Da Silva was the one that made them go. He was the guy that kept them in a lot of games with his versatility. And so, I don't know how far you'd be looking to trade back, but I think
Kleiman doesn't trade back.
Exactly. But I like him. I think he's going to end up being a good player in this draft. So, I don't think they're getting a 3, bottom line. It just feels like it's going to cost too damn much.
Yeah, especially if they've got if the apple of their eyes is Bridges.
Right. I just don't see how
the Nets are willing.
Is possible. But I do think it's going to be yet another intriguing draft night for the Memphis Grizzlies. What do they say? you know, 9, we'll get up to 3. First time Kleiman trades back, we shall see.
They tried to pick all together.
Yeah, that's the latest with the Grizzlies. All right, the Memphis football team is about to land their highest-ranked quarterback recruit out of high school ever. Is that cap or no cap?
I don't know if enough people are talking about this story before we answer here, but it feels like it's, I'm going to say no cap. Antoine Hill is the 4-star quarterback who's ranked the number 3 pocket quarterback in the country by ESPN. So coming out of high school, he would be the highest ranked. Now, John had to check me, and he's right. Brady White was ranked where, John?
He was number 2 pocket passer.
Coming out of high school.
Pro style. Yeah, out of high school, yes.
But you did not get him out of high school. So this would be the highest-ranked high school recruit that you have landed. It's down to 2 for Hill. He recently took a visit to Florida. Florida has, I'll put it this way, more traffic in terms of him getting to the starting job.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
He points out, Hill does, and he's coming to Memphis this weekend for a visit, very important for Memphis. He points out, they got Hennigan, and then it opens up. Okay? And he speaks on this being Hennigan's last year. Memphis has got a real shot here because of what it can offer Hill in terms of immediate playing time. And if it's down to 2, I like their chances. I'm you know, and Silverfield, let's be real, they're rolling right now. I mean, the momentum's going, and in terms of with NIL, what you've pulled out of the transfer portal, you're landing SEC guys, you got a shot, you've been on list in terms of top 25, two early top 25s. Some have you as number 1 in the group of 5 to represent the group of 5 in the college football playoff. So your brand right now is looking real good here before you've even played these games. I just think with everything they've got going for them, again, this is no inside information, but they've been in the thick of this race. It's down to 2, and you got the best shot at immediate playing time for them. I'm going to go no cap that they get him here. And as we've seen, if it's not Brady White and somebody that we're missing, this would be the highest-ranked guy you get out of high school. It would be a tip of the cap again to Ryan Silverfield and the crew. Cramsey and all those guys.
Yeah, I mean,
who he shouts out about his visit.
Yeah, I have not obviously seen his tape. I mean, I don't know, you know, what kind of, but it's just hard, right? It's hard to project, you know, how these guys.
Well, look at Brady White's projection.
Yeah, yeah.
And what'd you say he was? Number 2 pro
number
style
two.
In
number
the
two.
Country.
He was 5 spots ahead of Drew Locke. Now, Drew Locke didn't end up being, I mean, he was an NFL, he was drafted. I mean, I guess he's a first-round draft pick, so that's something.
Brady was not a big guy. I mean, to be ranked
not
that high with his, at his size, wow.
But I think the thing here is that you're sitting here and you're going head up with Florida. That's the thing. Regardless of how good Antoine Hill turns out to be, the idea that you're sitting here and it's not Florida and Tennessee, it's not Florida and Alabama, it's not Florida and Auburn, it's Florida and Memphis. And this young man is not from Memphis. He doesn't live in, you know, Tipton County.
Yeah, he's Georgia, right? Warner,
yeah.
Robins, Georgia, or whatever.
Yeah. Memphis is going head up with a quarterback against Florida.
Well, and Memphis doesn't have a 2024 5-star already on the roster, and this DJ Lagway guy that's down at Florida that he would be competing with in the immediate.
Exactly.
And they're after a 26 guy. And so they've just got a lot more going on at quarterback than Memphis does right now. So I like Silverfield and Memphis' chances here.
Yeah, listen.
Getting a huge visit this weekend by this kid.
Yeah, look, these guys could always transfer. That's part of it. But, you know, you also probably would have said the same thing about Seth. You would have said that, you know, there's no way he would have spent 4 years here at Memphis. You know, we thought after the second year when it all became, you know, moot, that he would be going somewhere closer to home, Texas, whatever. It never happened. So you just never know.
Say, Florida's got a 5-star already in the fold.
Yeah, it seems to me the case is pretty easy. You know,
that's what I'm saying. He's brand new at 2024 guys.
So. Memphis doesn't have anybody behind Seth at all.
Well, Cade Cunningham kid, I believe is his name. You've got a couple of more back there, but
so he stopped playing. He was so depressed
not,
by the
it's
Pistons.
Not, it's
organization.
Not that guy. And actually, he's been good just on a bad team. But it's a different Cade Cunningham.
Got it. That's what they want you to think.
Mm-hmm. And I could be crazy, but it's Cade. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
ESPN's actually got him mentioned in their breakdown of quarterback tiers.
Oh, Cade Cunningham?
Yeah, because they do your whole situation.
Gotcha.
And so they've got him mentioned among the, you know,
gotcha,
everybody's whole quarterback situation. They didn't just rank the quarterbacks. Anyway,
yeah,
this is a big, big visit for Antoine Hill this week.
It
in
is.
Memphis. Folks should be,
I mean, look,
Ryan
Silverfield's done it before, right? When he got Obinna's A, I mean, he's beaten SEC teams for, you know, big-time players.
Mm-hmm. And you got NIL to offer in a way that you haven't had it in previous years.
That is an absolute fact. So, anyway, big-time visit, big-time stuff for Memphis. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson's going to join us on the other side. We're going to talk to her about the Grizzlies, going to get her thoughts on what she thinks they need, get her thoughts on the offseason, WNBA, all that and more. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Bryant City Media, part of the Grizz Radio Network here during Grizz season. She joins us every Tuesday, and she joins us now. Hello, friend. How are we?
Oh, I am doing well. How are you?
I did clear. I had permission to introduce her as Pat McAfee would want, but I've opted not to do that. I've opted to you know, because I will say on that, and a lot of people don't know this, or maybe they do, because your following on TikTok continues to explode. But Jessica posted a TikTok yesterday about the Pat McAfee clip and about what he had to say.
I keep missing.
And you got to get there,
but
man.
But
you only have about 12 more months.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's getting banned. There's no doubt about it. But she got a ton of, as you might expect, blowback from Pat McAfee fans.
Oh, boy.
Who said things along the lines of, you know, you're missing the message. You're getting, stuck on the wording, even though isn't that what makes a message? The wording? I digress. Have you just given up with your TikTok comments or what?
I'm gonna take a break the rest of the day. It's funny because obviously engagement is a part of what we do and social media wise. And there just has to come a point where like you're very comfortable with people saying out of pocket things online. And anytime you talk about Caitlin Clark, like that is a needle driver. Of course, so we're having these conversations to begin with, but her fans are angels compared to the Pat McAfee hive. And that's the thing that's so weird about it. It's like, I love Pat McAfee. Like when Pat McAfee was here for the Memphis SMU, the college game day game a couple years back, like, I've always told the story that Pat McAfee defies the notion of never meet your heroes because he was just as cool and funny and charismatic in real life, and that was before he, you know, got huge and was making $17 million for ESPN. But I've always enjoyed him and his approach to covering sports, and so it was just as simple as being bummed out of a dude who genuinely seems like he's been trying to cover the WNBA, and a lot of that has been centered around Caitlin Clark, but he's been curious and he's been open about learning new names and learning that the Liberty are a really good team. And you just don't have to make a point by saying that word. And like, I there are a lot of people out there, I think I've learned over the last couple of days, that will probably never get it and never get in the way of men who really, really feel strongly about being able to use the B word whenever they want. I was called it a lot yesterday. But it's like just being cognizant and understanding that this is a new territory for a lot of people. And if you have a big platform and you genuinely are trying to engage with positive discourse around the NBA and just discourse in general, there are ways to say things and ways to not. And I don't think you needed to use that word to make that point.
I want to give an example real quick, Jason, of some comments here. Donald Leathers, who I assume is a man, I took it as a compliment. She's a dog. She came in and took a lot of crap, but is still performing at a high level. She has a different mentality. So Donald, a man, took it as a compliment.
I did love the literal translation of the B word being
right,
a dog.
Right.
We don't talk about that enough.
She's a female dog.
Like that is technically what it is. So maybe this is where it changes, but if it's going to be changed, maybe like women could change it. I don't know.
I feel like when your justification is, you must just not watch the show. This is how he always is. Well, like you're telling on yourself because that's problematic. Like just because somebody has always been this way, that you're just saying that they've always been problematic. You know what I mean? Like
I got a lot of this is satire, and I was like, well, maybe you could do satire better. Point that you were going for. And then I got a lot, like, frankly, I mean, a lot of people called me a dumb bee, and a lot of people told me to get back in the kitchen or to get on my knees. No, I mean, it was gross. It was a really awful day on the internet, and a lot of people told me to go kill myself. So we know how this transpires. But that's why, like, that word is so loaded, because a lot of men think that they can say it with those added connotations. So miss me with thinking that it's the ultimate compliment of calling a woman that from Pat's chair, and he apologized and everything's fine. But it's so indicative of just all of us entering this world where like more people are talking about the WNBA and women's sports than ever before. And some people are really staunchly standing their ground that they can talk about it however the hell they want, instead of listening to some of the voices who have been around. And I cannot believe that we all got here based on a stupid hip check over the weekend. Like, that's what this all came from. This right. is the most talked about flagrant foul in the history of flagrant fouls that is now like spiderwebbed out into all these different conversations, whether it be the perceived jealousy around Caitlin Clark or how we're talking about women's basketball, or some people coming out and saying, well, you're lucky that we're talking about women's basketball at all. And that's kind of a gross point to come from, too.
Yep. Just thinking about this and what you've said and sort of, you know, the way John's laid it out, it feels like this has gone on for a long time, whether it's the initiation of rookies or whatever else. Candace Parker, her first year in the league, got roughed up. You could take it to the NBA, Michael Jordan getting frozen out of the All-Star game. Like, it's something that happens all through sports, throughout sports. But I think what you said is that you've got so many now new to the conversation, don't know how to talk about it. And when they see it happening to Caitlin, something that's gone on for years in sports, right, there's this clutching of pearls because they haven't been here. They haven't watched it, and for whatever reason, seeing Caitlin go down brings something. But what you've got is a lot of foolishness that's come to the table now because more eyes on it. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's this like connotation with women and watching the physicality of women, because the WNBA is a physical league.
Long been a physical league.
Yeah, and I would argue that maybe because there has been less pressure of it to change, it might be a more physical league right now than the NBA, or a less monitored league than the NBA, right? Because there have been so many rules put into place to try to protect players on the men's side. The women have just been out and about being petty and being physical and pushing each other and shoving each other and trying to make points. I mean, Caitlin Clark's own teammate, Aaliyah Boston, who was the number one pick last year, was getting pounded in the paint every time she touched the ball.
Yep.
And like you mentioned, I mean, you could go all the way back to the Candace Parker days, and if you haven't seen the 2008 Sparks Shock fight, it's Malice in the Palace Part 2 is what it was called at the time, but go back and see how they reacted. I remember when I was younger watching Lisa Leslie got her hair pulled out in an Olympic game once. There was a fight a couple of years ago between Brittany Griner and some Mercury players with another team. Like, this has happened, but now we have this giant microscope Caitlin Clark, who has played 11 games in the first 20 days of the WNBA season. That's absurd. The Aces have played 6.
That's ridiculous.
So, of course, we're talking about it more. And this is such a dead week because the NBA Finals, the break that we've had between the end of the Mavs Timberwolves series, you can't even say the Stanley Cup Finals are in a break as well. June baseball is what it is. The College World Series on both the softball and the baseball sides only drives so much of a conversation. So it's kind of situated itself perfectly for this to really fan the flames for a
sure.
couple days.
They front loaded it because they just want to. Yeah, they know nothing else is going on, so this is a great way to get some TV appearances in. Because I gave college baseball a chance, and nobody involved seems to know what they're doing in college baseball. So I don't think I could do it. It's definitely smart, I think, on their part to try to capitalize on this time. But it also, I think, does lend itself to just pure exhaustion of a discourse that is, you know, far left anything rational. That's the other part of this, right? I mean, it's not about, you know, basketball anymore. And I think that's the unfortunate side of just all this.
But we do
attention.
We do that with all sports, though, right? I mean, this is a symptom of a greater disease of sports media. The way that we talk, maybe not, and maybe it just feels different because this is a league that we haven't talked about in this way, but it's not as if we're just sticking to the X's and O's. And some of that's fun. Like, I'm not saying that we can't talk about drama and added storylines, but I love mess. I always joke, if I don't have a team in the race, I am constantly rooting for the funniest thing possible. For example, if we want to actually talk about a WNBA thing that's happening later, the Connecticut Sun, who played the Fever in the first game of the year, they're 8-0. They play the Mystics, who are 0-8. I think it'd be hysterical if the Mystics beat the Suns tonight. Like, that's something that I would look for. But we've gotten so far away from talking about anything else. I mean, Asia Wilson's averaging 26-12 this season for an Aces team that looks very much poised to do their best at trying to go after a three-peat. And there's stories like that littered all over the place that are getting just completely trapped behind the Caitlin Clark of it all.
So do you do you kind of feel like the Angel Reese of Grind City, like, you know, they're there for you? And that, you know, it just everybody else is trying to take the credit, and you feel like it's really just about you. Is that kind of what's going on over there?
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that the Angel Reese comments from yesterday have been so weirdly misinterpreted, in my opinion. Like, watching the entirety of the clip is more of an understanding that Angel Reese, like, if you just watch it instead of read it, I think it goes to one of those things too. People see it come across the timeline and they read it instead of actually listening to what she said, and saying that this is a collective effort. It's not done in a combative way. It's not done in a, like, it doesn't feel passive. It doesn't even feel as passive aggressive as it was made out to be. But I thought it was true. Like, it's not just one woman. It is the entirety of the league. And just because some people are here, I think this gets lost too. There are people who have obviously started engaging in the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark. They are here because of Caitlin Clark. That is their truth, and that's factual. But that doesn't mean that that is the truth of the rest of the league and people who have been about it for years and the players who have been engaging in meaningful professional basketball for the entirety of the WNBA, particularly the last couple of years as it's really come into itself. Like, the groundwork was there for Caitlin to come in and usher this new moment. And so I think it's very short-sighted for anyone to assume that this all boils down to one person.
NBA Finals starting Thursday, obviously. Are you shocked that Dallas is here, or at this point is it not a surprise after what we watched them do and beat the teams that they beat to get here?
I'm still surprised, but I shouldn't be surprised. I think that's how it felt coming out of that series with the Timberwolves, because they have been the best team in the West since February, and the moves that they made at the trade deadline, and understanding, or Jason Kidd understanding his rotations and the continued growth of the chemistry between Luka and Kyrie, and not having any, you know, drama there, but it felt like they were operating in a buddy cop movie for the latter half of the season and into the postseason. And so seeing how they were able to just effectively suck the air out of a Timberwolves team that I think many people were quick to say, listen, they just beat the seeming world beaters, the defending champions of the Denver Nuggets. This is the favorite to go into the finals. This is the favorite to push the Celtics. And the Mavs did a pretty good job of completely shifting that narrative to instead be making the case, maybe the Mavs have a chance at being the team that the next team up to stand in the way of this Boston team having what they would hope to be their destiny of finally winning a title with this group.
In terms of who you are most entertained watching in the NBA, I know, you know, I think Ja probably is number one when he's out there, but
how quickly people forget. But
they have, and I mean, of course they have. I mean, he hasn't played, you know, in a long, long time. But I mean, is Luka making an argument for number one in the entire league right now?
Yeah, because I think by nature, Luka is more consistently fun than Jokic. Like, I enjoy watching Jokic because of the absurdity of Jokic, that somebody who looks like him has the game that he has. So that adds to his lore. But from just a sheer excitement of, take me to the last 5 minutes of a game and a player that I want to see try to go out and win a game for a team, Luka's right up there in what he does. And I'll still give, I know he's on the end tail of it, but Steph will always have that factor until he stops making stupid amounts of threes and clutch one of these days.
I think his teams, like, and they won in 2022, but they've mostly just been kind of a mess since then. I think that's kind of like drawing away a little bit. He's still amazing, singularly, but I don't know. I just feel like Luka is definitely accentuated by the fact that he's in the finals now. You know, I mean, it's not just him, but there's it feels like there's not that many players in the NBA who will make a three in your face and then bark at you like he does. I will say this, though.
It's the extra. It's the this MF-er can't guard me moment.
I mean, that's what Ja does, right? I mean, Ja would do that, you know.
Ja does it.
Yeah, I mean, which I think adds to the entertainment value. Luka does drive me nuts, though, with the way that he constantly grates on the refs.
He's trying to, it seems, curb it, but it's still very prevalent.
I feel like it
was one of those games against the Thunder where it was just brutal. Like, it was an almost unwatchable game with Luka, where it felt like every single minute he had a grievance to be had. But yeah, we forget things quickly. Just like people forget that Ja is probably the most fun player on the court when he's healthy and out there. And just because of, like, the sheer audacity factor draw and what he's willing to try, and between, you know, the dunks and the crazy getting to the basket in a magician way and the passing and everything. But I think Luka sits in that spot for me. Who else would be in there?
I mean, it would be Ja, Steph, like you said. You know, I still,
yeah, obviously Wemby's going to grow into that. Like, he's just an alien, so.
I'll be honest. I didn't watch any Spurs game this year, though. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, I just.
But didn't you actively seek out Wemby highlights? Like, when they crossed your timeline, were you ever intrigued enough to go watch?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I was unique in that way. But I mean, they would come across. I'd be like, oh wow, you know, big tall guy. Doesn't he have to leave the floor? He's sick. But I don't know. I mean, he is an attraction. I might just be speaking sort of for me. I just didn't watch any Spurs game. I still love watching LeBron. You know. I mean, I still do.
Fair.
He's more crybaby than Luka is.
He has become that way. He's 40. He has to evolve, right. You know. I mean, in most cases, he doesn't always complain. I feel like when he complains, he is right. He is
stopped, like Boston a couple years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Then he got fouled. I mean, that was a little much, but he acted like somebody in his family had just passed on the court, mm-hmm. You know, but yes, I do think he had a fair gripe there.
Jessica, did you offer? Go ahead.
Do you think that Anthony Edwards' performance in the last series knocked him down significant pegs in the most exciting player
to
watch?
Interesting race? Question.
I mean, no. I mean, I think he elevated himself for the entirety of the playoffs.
I don't know about most interesting players to watch. He's up there, but I do think it knocked him down a peg in terms of the talking. Like, that was some of the Grizzly stuff
for
right
sure.
There. You got to curb some of that. Especially, he was still talking it.
Yeah.
And it came off as, we were just happy not to get swept, which was,
Yes.
You can't do that. But we're still watching.
To me,
we're
like,
still watching.
Tatum is the wing equivalent of Jokic. Like, they both bore me to sleep. Like, I know they're great.
No, but Jokic isn't boring, because Jokic is...
He'll make some passes. He'll do some circus stuff. Tatum is like, bro. What are you doing out there? Like, you're just kind of coasting. You know, where is the fire with you? I don't think it's in there. Even his commercials, like, you know, playoff Tatum's not a thing. Like, bro, like, you're just.
I want a better financial future.
Right.
My mom.
Like, he was telling, like, this very compelling story about how he had no money. Like, you know, like, we had to eat syrup sandwiches, and now look at me. You know, it's just.
Where was his dad?
I don't know. Didn't we have his dad on the show?
Yes.
That was his dad, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jess, did you
just
offer.
We need to follow up on that.
Did you offer David Jones a promise? Is that why he's staying in the NBA draft? Did you, some sort of promise?
Let's walk me into tampering with David Jones. No, my promise would have been go get the keys of the best pro shop and add it to the laundry list of what Memphis is throwing at you to stay with the Tigers. Such an intriguing decision by David Jones. And I know you guys and many have talked excessively about the fact that there had to have been a handshake deal there somewhere from someone promising him a chance at a two-way, because otherwise, why do you make that choice? And I'm a dreamer, right? Like, I love to follow dreams and pretend that money doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, that check is a significantly different situation. And even just the scenario that he would have been in, being the guy at Memphis, highly paid, in a situation where this team could really use him. I mean, they're obviously not in dire straits without him coming back, of course. But he would have been the star. And instead, you're going to go live the two-way G League journeyman life. And that's a choice. But who knows? Maybe someday we'll get the sit-down of David Jones explaining exactly why that's the option that he chose.
I've moved on. I mean, yeah, he's dreaming. But maybe you need to do a little bit more thinking and doing. You know, that's what we do with the University of Memphis. We don't just dream, we think.
Thinkers and
we,
doers.
You know, I don't know if you are up on that, Jessica. You've been in Memphis long enough to where you should know the motto right now for Memphis, but it's...
It's an old motto, isn't it?
We got a new one.
It seemed like that was...
What is it, just NIL now?
Is that Shirley or
name,
was that
Name, image, likeness.
Yeah, it might be NIL.
That's our new motto. That's all we have to offer. Dreamers, thinkers, doers. I mean... Now, that is a community college-ass slogan, I gotta say. I hope we have updated it, because it's...
I want to say we have. I want to believe in us.
That might have left with Shirley.
I feel like that's not even a community call. I feel like that's like an after daycare program slogan.
That's essentially what Tennessee fans think our degrees are.
We got it from the university.
Here
school.
It is. It's driven by doing, y'all.
Driven by doing.
See,
okay.
We've upgraded.
Got it.
That sounds like
was a RUD upgrade.
That sounds like an insurance company, though. Like, you know, it doesn't sound like a college.
As it says in the motto, doing involves mentoring, preserving, maintaining, researching, and launching your career path.
Yeah. Okay. Driven by doing. I think I might have gone with the first one. Your degree is essentially, there's a daycare up here on, Mount Moriah. It's like a regular house. That's where you got your degree from, Jason, that diploma mill over there. What did you think of Penny's Press?
Diploma mill.
This guy.
Yeah. What
from the same place.
I got mine in 2013. You got yours in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was different. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Penny's press conference or whatever you want to call that on the golf course yesterday?
Did not seem thrilled.
Oh, I was so glad that I wasn't in local news anymore. Where I was the one who was at the golf course with the camera and the microphone having to ask a question that nobody wanted to ask because you could get a general sense that he obviously had zero desire to answer it. It wasn't necessarily endearing, but I did think it was very telling. Like, that's the attitude going into this season. There is testiness is the wrong word, but a curtness with it because the silver has started or the gold has started to fade a little bit around the leverage that Penny has just being Penny as the head coach at the University of Memphis and all of the goodwill that's built into it. And he will always mean so much to this city, so don't twist the words there. But you are entering a season where it feels as if it is more critical than ever to take this team back to the tournament. And if you don't make it to the tournament this year, then the heat is on. And so it felt to me like a coach who's very aware of that and already very tired of questions related to that. And the guy just wanted to go out there and play golf yesterday.
Yeah, he did, and we're good for that.
I always ask Jessica an arts and entertainment question.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, give it to me.
Just want to make sure, are we aware and are we watching Netflix's newest crime series, Eric?
No, what is that?
It's about a missing kid and his alcoholic puppet show father who's got a puppet show trying to find this missing kid. Just the acting is fantastic. You will absolutely love it. And the moment you dive in, you and Chris, you guys won't go away. You'll try to watch the whole thing. I'm telling you, it's that good. Eric on Netflix dropped May 31st, so it's brand new. It's fantastic. Okay. It's fantastic. What's my guy's name? Benedict Cumberbatch, the Oscar nominee. He's the lead guy in a much different role for him.
Strange himself.
Yes, in a much different role. You will love it. And if you don't come back, and I'll owe you something if you don't, because I think I'm going to be right here that you're gonna absolutely love. Okay. Eric on Netflix.
I'm going to trust you, just like trust I hope me. You trusted me last week in dropping all of your stock in Jennifer Lopez because she ended up canceling her tour by the end of the week.
I did. I went home and told my wife I had been educated on J-Lo and really the difference.
Oh, you thought she was hot?
Well, I tried to ask Jess a real naive question about, you know, whether she could, she's going to have an everlasting career, much like Cher, will you figure? But it's not a valid comparison between those two.
It was a good question though, because the conversation has now popped off of like what happened to the goodwill of Jennifer Lopez,
yep.
And why has it nosedived in this way? Why don't people want to pay $8? There were tickets for her concert that were up for $8.
Wow,
and couldn't even sell those.
We have turned on her. She was more of a...
But she's brought it on herself in a lot. But Cher was that, too, at a time. Cher's actually won Oscars. We talked about last week, Moonstruck, and everything else was great, and some other things as well. Reached a level J-Lo didn't even reach on that side either. And so it's... And then, you know, J-Lo's done some really weird stuff.
Hey, last thing before we let you go. What did you make of... I don't know if you saw it, but Stephen A. Smith's rebuttal to... Monica McNutt. He clearly feels some type of responsibility for basically giving her the platform on First Take, and he reminded her of that publicly on his own podcast. What did you make of that?
I didn't love that. Instead of the Stephen A. Smith of it, I would just like anyone who has not understood what Monica McNutt is about and how incredible she is covering the W and all things that she covers, I hope that the last 24 hours were either a reminder or a like nudger to think to yourself, I should seek out Monica McNutt content more often because she does such an excellent job covering the league and beyond. And I thought it took great bravery of her to have the response that she had in the moment. And Stephen A. Smith, even in his comments that he made last night, saying that he helped give this platform to her and other women by getting them on appearances at First Take. He talked about how much he loves her. Like, I think some people were like, ooh, is Monica ever going to be on First Take again? And I think she was on it.
She was today. Yes.
Like, she has reached a level of respect, and she's so good. She's undeniably good and undeniably talented. And so maybe focus on voices like Monica McNutt's more during this trepidatious time that we're all dealing with.
Yeah, no doubt. Good stuff as always, Jessica. Thank you so much,
Jess.
See you later.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson. Catch her on Grind City Media and the Grizz Radio Network during the season. Yeah, listen, I don't think she cooked Stephen A. Smith the way that everybody else seemed to think she cooked him.
Well, his face kind of.
Yeah.
I think, to that tape.
Yeah, his face was,
he was speechless. He literally was like,
wow. He felt betrayed.
Betrayed. He did.
Would go at him over that.
But he opened the door. It was easy.
Yeah.
I thought fair what she said. I mean, it's not just Stephen A. Nobody was here 3-4 years
correct.
Ago talking about this.
Exactly.
Like this.
Exactly.
But to her point, she's on that show, and so it looks like, you know, this shot at him.
Yeah.
But her point was the world wasn't in.
Correct.
This thing 3-4 years ago.
And
we could have been.
Yes.
We weren't paying attention.
Well,
and Stephen A. could have been back
right.
then. Right.
I think the part.
It didn't move the meter back then.
Oh, exactly.
It does now.
Exactly.
It's an acknowledgement of that.
And I think that's where, you know.
They didn't like that.
You don't really hear that from the, you know, that side. You know, there's this sort of implied moral obligation that we were all supposed to be watching the WNBA or talking about the WNBA from a moral obligation standpoint. Well, I don't think First Take covers Major League Baseball. I don't think First Take talks about the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't think they talk about Premier League. You know, all they're doing is basically acting as a mirror for the greater American sports discussions that are happening today, right? If you're doing it right, they don't make the sports. They don't make the hot button sports topics, right? That's not what they can't create. Like, if they spent the next 3 months talking about Premier League soccer, it's not like that would become the most popular sport in America.
Correct.
They are there to basically just be a lightning rod for what is getting attention and what is going to draw ratings, because that is the business that they're in. It's the business that you and I are in.
Believe me, they wouldn't have revisited today
100%.
If they didn't like the ratings that it got yesterday.
Yes.
Him and McNutt going at it.
Yes.
All the virality of it all on social media. That's why they hit it again to start today and made it the A.
No question. And guess what else they don't do? They don't talk about college basketball in December on First Take. You know, I mean, that's maybe Duke, maybe Kentucky or something, if they're all imploding.
Yeah. Well, they probably don't talk about it until the damn tournament.
Exactly.
First Take.
So all First Take is doing is just playing their hits. That's all we do here on this show. I mean, we weren't talking about WNBA 3 years ago. Nobody was talking about WNBA 3 years ago.
Right. That's why.
Because people weren't checking for it.
Right.
And now people are checking for it. And now people are talking about it. It's just really simple. I mean, I, that's why I felt like. I did kind of side with Stephen A. in that.
But all I'm telling you is Monica's point is you're agreeing with it. She just sharpened it by saying you, Stephen A. She's talking about all of us.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about everybody that wasn't involved 3 or 4 years ago. And that's fair. It's absolutely fair. And so that's why I was more on her side. Stephen took that personally. I put you here. This is now coming off as a shot at me.
Mm.
Let me get you correct. And all that, and I thought that was unnecessary. So you're saying you side with Stephen. I lean more towards Monica.
Like, why?
She used him as the example.
Sure.
And she's on his show.
Right.
And you could say that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Considering the fact he put you on.
Right.
But all she was doing was putting a finer point on it.
Yeah.
You represent everybody that wasn't
right.
here
He's,
3 or
right.
4 years ago.
But why should we have been here 3 or 4 years ago? Like what was so
well,
compelling
that
we that missed?
You could have been. The basketball hasn't changed. The cheap shots haven't changed.
Mm-hmm.
What changed was Caitlin Clark and this unbelievable class
right.
that's come in.
It's popular
and it's strong.
Now.
That's what I've said. That's why we have so much foolishness around this conversation about a cheap shot, about what's essentially an initiation for a rookie that happens all the time
yep.
across sports all the time. But you have all these new eyeballs on it,
mm-hmm.
folks that don't know how to break, and they're seeing it happen from women. They weren't here 3 or 4 years ago, don't know how physical a league this already is,
yeah.
and this foolishness that you were frustrated by and have been has
right.
now been added and taken and blown everything so out of proportion.
I guess I kind of thought she – I guess I came away thinking she was saying you should have been talking about the WNBA. Like, you should have been leading off your shows with WNBA.
She knows better than that. She's
right.
on frankly, she's on an NBA show. Let's be first and foremost.
Right.
Get Up's an NFL show. First Take, for the most part,
is
an NBA show that she is on. She covers the Knicks. She covers the NBA.
And, Lawrence, and she's great.
That's what she – and she knows what moves the needle.
100%.
She absolutely knows that. And so
she's more so talking about the fact that if you had been watching
exactly,
3 or 4 years ago,
as
you
opposed
would not
to telling
have been
Stephen A. he should have been here.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and then, listen, I think that's fair. I think that's totally fair.